Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, today on this program, we're going to be talking with Dr. Ben Carson, former presidential candidate, and we're going to be talking with him specifically in segment three, where I am going to be asking him a couple of key questions, including this one: how significant is the developing evidence of voter fraud by the Democrat Party and the Clinton campaign? I'm also going to ask Dr. Carson what he would say to the Christian conservative who is thinking that perhaps the most principled choice is to not vote for either presidential candidate, or perhaps maybe even a third party candidate. Now, that's the question we've been asking our special guests all week, and we're going to be doing that through the balance of next week. I think you're going to want to hear what Dr. Ben Carson says to us on both of those issues. Now, this in section two, or segment two, we're going to play two short clips. One is by Hillary Clinton and the other by Donald Trump. And I'm doing that for a very clear reason. One, I want to let you hear their specific views relative to Christianity. One of them supports and respects Christians and recognizes their value in making America what it is. The other swears that Christian values must be changed, and presumably by force to be changed. I think you want to hear that. That's going to be in segment two. So I'll introduce myself. This is Sam Rohr, and Gary Dahl will be with me today. I'm actually broadcasting remote today from a location where just a little bit later after the program, we'll be conducting a pastor's round table with Dr. Ben Carson, and that's what brings him to our program and to the microphone here today. Gary, before we, as we get into the news of the day like we generally do, I have a lot of places that we could go. I mean, I look at the news, Gary, Russia is threatening us repeatedly every day as a nation. The Chinese have moved an additional 5,000 troops at least into Syria. Illegals are crossing the border by the hundreds. And these things just keep happening, and I could go on and on about them, but I won't. I think what we're going to do today, Gary, is I'm going to try to keep the program more centrally focused, again, on the aspects of the campaign. And so I want to read just a short bit from an article just published by Pat Buchanan. The title of this article is, I'm going to read from it here, Gary, as I have the papers in my hand. The title of it is A Presidency from Hell. Interesting title, A Presidency from Hell. He starts this column released by saying this. He said, as for Trump, if he is elected, most of his agenda, tax cuts, deregulation, border security, deportation of criminals here illegally, repeal of Obamacare, appointing justices like Scalia, unleashing the energy industry could be readily enacted. New trade treaties with China and Mexico will occur and so forth. And likely that if Trump is elected, that he will also bring in with him an increasing number of Republicans, both in the House and the Senate. And therefore, the agenda for change, true change, could actually occur. But he says this, but consider what a Hillary Clinton presidency would be like. She would enter office with the position of being the least admired president in history. Without a vision or a mandate, she would take the office with two-thirds of the nation believing that she is untruthful and untrustworthy. Reports of poor health and lack of stamina may be exaggerated, yet she moves like a woman her age. Unlike Ronald Reagan, her husband, Bill, and President Obama, she is not a natural political athlete and lacks the personal rhetorical skills to move the people to action. And it goes on and talks about a number of things. Her credibility has been hurt. Her transparency is non-existent. And the fact that she has now gotten into all of these hearings with Benghazi and the emails before Congress with a number of the congressmen actually saying that they believe that she has already committed perjury. So she goes in, no matter what happens, she goes in as a president who is going to be subject to a great deal of investigation. Gary, let me just ask you this. I think the point that Pat's making is that telling the truth is critical. Is it possible, Gary, for anyone in a position of authority to enact justice, to preserve freedom, to serve the people rather than themselves, if their life has demonstrated a pattern of deception and lying? And in this case, in her case, 2/3 of the American people already believe that she is untruthful, therefore she's a liar. Gary, is it even possible that a person under that aura could actually deliver anything positive in office?
I don't think so, Sam. I think that she has such a record of deception and lies and corruption that if she wins the presidency, the very first day she sits in the Oval Office, January the 20th, 2017, she will be on the downhill trend. And, you know, Pat goes on in this particular article that he wrote, and he talks about how Richard Nixon got in trouble for lying and how Ronald Reagan faced some impeachment because people thought he might be lying, and how Bill Clinton was impeached. Think about this, Sam. She already has a lot of lies on her platter. We know that. That's been proven over and over again. She will go into office, if she's elected, she will go into office with more on her platter of deception than these other guys, the Nixon and Clinton and, if you want to put Reagan in there, all put together. And so what I think is what's going to happen is that she will not be a credible president. From the very beginning, people will not be trusting her. And I think there will be one investigation after another that's going to cost millions and millions, if not billions of dollars to the American people that even may end up in her impeachment. So if she gets into the White House because of the credibility factor that she has, it's going to be a very scary time. And I like what Pat said, a presidency from hell. There's no doubt about that.
And I want to ask you that, Gary. Why did he say that? Because we're talking about lying, and here in this effect, you'd be putting into office a liar in chief. You know, why is that accurate for Pat to refer to that as perhaps a presidency from hell? Connect.
Well, I don't know why Pat said it, but I know the biblical reason for that. The Word of God teaches us that Satan is the father of lies, and you know, there is no doubt about it. Hillary lies and lies and lies and lies again. Who is behind every lie? Who is behind every deception? It's the devil himself. And so that's how I would take this. And again, I can't get into Pat Buchanan's head, but I do agree that with her character, with her corruption, with her lies, she would be a presidency. She would have a presidency from hell. Now, we understand Romans 13 says if she's there, God has put her there. But that does not mean that she would not be empowered by the devil to do some hellish things.
Well, Gary, I think that's a good point. I think, and ladies and gentlemen, regardless, this is the point being made, I think, by this article, that someone who comes in with the aura of fraud, not fraud, but lying and deception behind them, there is no way that you can have anything other than a very dysfunctional position in office. Now, as we go into this break, I want to ask you to stay with us here. When we come back, we're going to compare contrast Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump on the matter of Christian beliefs. And we're going to listen from their own mouth. I want you to take and listen to this and make up your own determination. It'll be very, very clear, I believe. This is Sam Rohr and Gary Dahl on Stand in a Gap Today. Stay with us, and we will be right back.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Today, people are living longer than their forebears. Right now, more than 1 million Americans are alive past age 100. That means you need to work toward having financial resources that can give you independence into your golden years. But weighing different investment options may make you feel overwhelmed. You need someone, a trusted friend, who can come alongside and help you keep the complex simple. That's where the Life Financial Group comes in. For nearly 40 years, the Life Financial Group has helped thousands of families, not only here in Pennsylvania, Virginia, but nationwide, become even better financial stewards of God's blessings. Managing your investments may feel challenging, but by using a complete financial stewardship approach, you too can gain confidence and peace of mind that your wealth is protected and that you maintain your financial independence. With morally clean investment options, we can help you reach your goals while honoring your convictions. Call us at the Life Financial Group today at 610-385-4500 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
The preservation of the sacred fire of liberty and the destiny of the Republican model of government are justly considered, perhaps as deeply as finally staked on the experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people. A quote from George Washington.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
The citizens of America are, from this period, to be considered as actors on a most conspicuous theater, which seems to be designated by Providence for the display of human greatness and felicity. 1783, John Adams.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
The Statue of Liberty was dedicated this day, October 28, 1886, by President Grover Cleveland. It was presented to the U.S. by France as a symbol of friendship. This 450,000-pound statue is supported by a steel structure built by Gustave Eiffel, builder of the Eiffel Tower. The Statue of Liberty was designed by sculptor Auguste Bartholdi, who wrote, "The statue was born for this place which inspired its conception. May God be pleased to bless my efforts and my work and to crown it with success, the duration and the moral influence which it ought to have."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Acts 4:13 Ministries invites you to join us for the Valley Forge Leadership Prayer Breakfast this November 4th at the Crown Plaza in King of Prussia. Men and women will meet to fellowship, network, pray, and hear the testimony of notable Christians in the public eye, and of course, enjoy a delicious breakfast. For over 20 years, the Valley Forge Leadership Prayer Breakfast has been a wonderful blessing to Christian professionals living out their faith, as well as a unique opportunity to introduce the gospel to unchurched friends in a warm and comfortable setting. Our 2016 keynote speaker is General Jerry Boykin, original member of Delta Force, military leader, author, and pastor. General Boykin will share exciting accounts of fighting on the battlefield and of faith while serving at the top levels of government. Invite your friends to hear the insights behind what drives this true American warrior to follow, serve, and lead. For more information and online registration, visit vflpb.org. That is vflpb.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, in this next segment, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to try and share a couple of clips with you to help compare and contrast Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump when it comes to their Christian beliefs or their support or their identification with Christian ideology. And we're doing this because as we do this program, we're within this 10-day period now before the next election. We're spending time intentionally because of it, because of the importance of this election to our religious freedom and to our nation as a whole. I know that there are many people across the country many of them who say they are Christian evangelicals, who are at this point still saying, I'm not quite so sure I'm going to vote for either presidential candidate. And we're trying to do what we can to help present information to help the thinking process there. And that's going to be one of the questions I'll ask Ben Carson, Dr. Ben Carson, when he joins us in the next segment. But I would like to submit personally, and we said it on this program before, that there is, no matter how you cut it, a very, very stark contrast between these two teams. I'll go as far as saying that one team, the Clinton-Cain team, is a very pro-Islamic team. And the other, Pence or Trump-Pence team, is a very pro-Judeo-Christian team. Now you say, why do you say that? How can you say that? Well, I say that because right next to Hillary Clinton, for her whole time there at the State Department and where she is now, is Huma Abedin, who is a part of the Muslim Brotherhood, jihadist Islam, Muslim Brotherhood. That's what they are. Tim Kaine, governor of Virginia, appointed as a main leader of some of the community effort groups, a leader of the pro-Islamic group here in the country, and was forced to basically recall him when the people got so upset about it. But both of these candidates have taken together hundreds of millions of dollars from Islamic nations overseas. The connection is clear. Donald Trump and Mike Pence are clear that jihadi Islam, Muslim Brotherhood, Sharia law are incompatible with Christianity, our Constitution, and both are very firm in their verbal support of Christianity, evangelicals, and religious freedom. Now, let me start with just a 30-second clip, very brief here, of a speech that Hillary Clinton made just some time ago. And she's setting this up. She's talking about women's issues. She's talking about the right to abortion. She's talking about the right to kill your baby. Now, listen to what she says, and particularly listen for the words when she talks about deep-seated cultural religious beliefs must be changed. Listen to those words as we play this clip, please.
But far too many women are still denied critical access to reproductive health care and safe childbirth. All the laws we've passed don't count for much if they're not enforced. Rights have to exist in practice, not just on paper. Laws have to be backed up with resources and political will. And deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you heard that. Deep-seated cultural religious beliefs, codes, have to be changed. Gary, I want you to just give a brief comment on that, because I want to go ahead and play then the comments from Trump recently. But Gary, this is the same woman who's referred to most of those who don't support her as deplorables. Mm. Recently, she made comments, hateful comments, about evangelicals and Catholics. WikiLeaks brought those evidences forward to us. But Gary, I guess the question I have for you is, how can anybody logically either vote for her or perhaps not vote and vote against her, knowing what she has consistently been saying relative to what she will do to force changes, ideological changes, obviously from Christians and evangelicals, on such things as positions on abortion?
Well, Sam, you know, based upon these terms, another term that she has used, and some of the things that have even come out from her campaign on WikiLeaks, et cetera, I think that if Hillary gets in, we are going to see great persecution upon those who are born-again Christians, upon the Christian faith. You know, when she talks about religious beliefs must be changed and so forth and so on, she's talking about changing the doctrine of the church. Now, we know that there's been a reference to the Catholic Church, you know, where they think that there needs to be changes within the Catholic Church. But you know that would reach into every evangelical church that is in existence today, and even every liberal church, I suppose you could say. If she gets in, I think that the First Amendment, particularly as it relates to our religious rights, will be completely taken away. So to answer your question, and I'll make it a little bit more narrow, perhaps, than what you asked if anybody could believe, vote for her. My answer is, number one, anybody who is constitutional and believes in the Constitution of the United States cannot and should not vote for her. And secondly, any Christian who believes in the First Amendment and religious freedom and religious liberty cannot and should not vote for her. She would be a disaster.
All right, Gary, I think it's very clear what you said. Let's go ahead now and just listen to about a two-minute clip here from Donald Trump that he made in D.C. at a gathering just some weeks ago. Listen to the contrast in these things we're talking about. If you could play that clip, Russ, please.
Voted were selfless people than our Christian brothers and sisters here in the United States. True, so true.
We have the clip, Russ, there, play.
I witnessed that incredible generosity all across this land. Gotten to know so many people.
I'm thinking, Gary, are you still there?
During my trip to Louisiana, where Christian volunteers raced to help their fellow citizens in need. Franklin Graham is an example. He brought the most incredible people and equipment to Louisiana. And he didn't want anything for it. He's a great man. It's that spirit of giving that we will need to rebuild Louisiana and to rebuild this country, which is in serious, serious trouble. Yet our media culture often mocks and demeans people of faith, and you understand that. All the time I hear from concerned parents how much harder it is for a Christian family to raise their children in today's media environment. It is right, isn't it? Yeah? It is right. Not even close. Your values of love, charity, and faith built this nation. So how can it be that our media treats people of faith so poorly? One of the reasons is that our politicians have really abandoned you to a large extent. And Hillary Clinton, you can forget about her. So let me state this right up front. A Trump administration, our Christian heritage will be cherished, protected, defended, like you've never seen before.
Wow, Sam, that's tremendous. Isn't it? I mean, when you take into consideration what he said versus what Hillary said, that is a big difference between the two.
Correct. And I thought, you know, our listeners should be able to hear what was being said, because that is absolutely and totally different. You hear that reference there also? And we mentioned the other day in a program, and we thought for the first time, but he referred to my Christian brothers and sisters. Do you think Hillary would say that?
Never, never. We talked about that the other day. But then, of course, you know, when he says that the Christian values will be cherished and loved and protected, I believe that he will do that. And then when he made the statement that this nation was built on your values, he's talking about Christian values of love, charity, and faith. Sam, we know that comes directly from the pages of Scripture. Donald Trump understands, and I don't know that he's always understood this, but he has come to understand from whence this nation has come, from upon what this nation was built. And I believe that a Trump administration is going to continue to support the Christian and the biblical values upon which the United States of America was established. Hillary will take them away. Hillary will attack them. But I believe that a Trump administration will protect them.
Well, Gary, you kind of answered the question I was going to pose to you next. For those who perhaps may yet be undecided, or for those who particularly would say they would be Christians or even conservative evangelicals, that, you know what, I don't know that there's that much difference between the two. I would hope, Gary, that just a little bit here of these comments would be enough to convince that person that there is a huge difference. Gary, I don't think in America that we really understand. We're starting to see the early edges of persecution against religious freedom. But these things are coming down the road, I believe, faster than what we can imagine. As we've heard in this program before, if Hillary's there, the first thing that would happen, we were told this by very key people, would be a move against religious freedom under the First Amendment. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you are picking up some of these distinctives and these differences here. There really is not so much a difference of two people, but two futures. Stay with us as we come back now. We're going to, after this break, we're going to come back and we're going to be joined by Dr. Ben Carson and ask him some very key questions and update relative to what's happening in this election and what people should be thinking about voter fraud, how big the problem is.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Hillary Clinton's campaign has $85 million more dollars than Donald Trump's, according to the latest federal filings. But the Wall Street Journal reports Trump has just given $10 million more to his campaign.
Trump donated no cash to his own campaign during the first 3 weeks of this month. Campaign manager Kellyanne Conway.
I want to remind everybody that we'll never have the money Hillary Clinton has.
Federal Election Commission disclosures also reveal that big Republican donors are sending more cash to super PACs that are focused on House and Senate races.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland. Tonight's the first World Series game at Wrigley Field in 71 years. The Chicago Cubs hosting the Cleveland Indians with people already out there hanging around.
I can't describe it.
It's going to be an explosion of happiness, excitement, and I think unity.
The series best of sevens tied at a game apiece. Tonight's the first of three played in Chicago. Fox News. We report. You decide.
WFYN. From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. I'd like to offer up some words of encouragement and thanks today to everyone who got involved in helping fight legislation in Harrisburg that would seriously undermine personal privacy and religious freedom. I'm talking about legislation that, when introduced, was called the Fairness Act by its supporters, but was anything but fair. The proposal later became known as the Bathroom Bill, because it would force open bathrooms, showers, locker rooms, and dressing rooms to people of the opposite sex who self-identify otherwise. Further, the legislation would hinder churches, ministries, and faithful Christians from fully following their faith. Well, this week, for all intents and purposes, the General Assembly session came to a close, and every one of these proposals failed to advance. That good news is a testimony to hard work, citizen involvement, and God's faithfulness. Thanks to all who took a stand. We'll need to be watchful next session, though. As they say, eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are delighted to have you back on Stand in the Gap Today for this Friday. And, of course, Ben Carson is on his way into the studio. He was to be with us here for this entire segment, but you know how sometimes things happen when people are to arrive. We understand that he will be arriving probably in the next minute or two, and Sam is there at the studio waiting for his arrival, and we are delighted to have him with us, and I believe that I got word that he is here now. So, Sam, I'll go to you, and why don't you bring Dr. Ben Carson into the discussion, please?
Well, circumstances where we are, we're going to be Just after this program today, we're going to be engaging with Dr. Ben Carson in a pastor's roundtable here in the central part of Pennsylvania. And he will be speaking directly to them, as well as being able to answer questions in a very informal setting to the various pastors across the country, across the state. So I'm just going to give me 1 second here, and I'm going to invite Dr. Ben Carson to come and join me now at the studio, Mike.
Well, as we are waiting for Ben to show
up. And we are here. Gary, Dr. Ben Carson he's been on a very, very busy morning and afternoon, as I was saying. And I'm just going to welcome him now, Dr. Ben Carson, former surgeon, as we all know, and presidential candidate. We welcome him to Stand in the Gap today and really all of the almost 450 stations across the country who are listening to this program. So, Dr. Carson, welcome to the program today.
Well, thank you. Delighted to be here.
I am glad that you are here. It's always a trick to arrange schedules. I know that.
I'm sure it is.
Because our time is limited, you are going to be here, and as I've told our audience, you're here for a pastor's round table. And we're going to be engaging about 50 pastors, key people here in Pennsylvania, in just a few short minutes. But I want to ask you a question, actually two major questions I want to ask you. But the first one is this. We're hearing an awful lot about voter fraud. The corruption we know is running deep. It is wide. We're seeing it in immigration type things. We're seeing it in duplicated ballots. We're seeing ballots being torn up. We're seeing voting machines. I want to know from you, because you are out now traveling the country, you are seeing a lot. In your estimation, are we facing a much more severe issue, potential voter fraud in this election we've seen before, and how big of an issue is it?
It's a very large issue, and recognize that there have been attempts at voter fraud over the last many elections, but this one is particularly important because the progressive movement has been working for 50 to 60 years to fundamentally change America. They're almost there. They only need four more years so that they can get the Supreme Court and the federal court system. After that, it doesn't matter who the president is. So yes, there's going to be voter fraud. There's no question about it. But the overwhelming number of American people have common sense. And I think if the margin is large enough, the fraud will not be able to.
And that was going to be my question to you. What can the average person do about it? So you're suggesting that perhaps being the average person, we've been telling people, when you go to vote, keep your eyes open. Take your cell phone. Take a note. Take pictures. If you're seeing something, busload of people coming in to vote, like we've seen in Philadelphia many times, take a picture of it. Put some of these things to record. But you're suggesting as well that an overwhelming vote may be enough, humanly speaking, to override the fraud. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. And the fact of the matter is, it is eminently possible. In 2012, 25 million evangelicals who were registered to vote did not vote. They sat on their hands. Imagine what happens if you motivate those people. And, you know, this may be the last time that the evangelical vote will count if they sit on their hands again. Because when you look at the hostility, you know, toward people of faith that comes from Hillary Clinton and the people around her, you don't have to be very imaginative to imagine what will happen if you get similarly, thinking people on the Supreme Court.
And you know, and it's kind of interesting, you don't know what we just broadcast, but in the segment before, we played a clip from Hillary Clinton where she was talking about it was the ideologies, the viewpoints of people relative to abortion things had to be changed.
Exactly.
And then we played a clip from Donald Trump when he spoke down at FRC in Washington about standing by Christian ideologies and Christian heritage. There is a stark contrast, is there not?
The difference is gigantic. If you look at the Republican platform and the Democrat platform, they go in completely opposite directions. And when you listen to the solutions that Trump is offering versus Clinton, they go in completely different directions. But most people don't know that because there's been too much chatter about personalities and things that will still be there, quite frankly, after the election. There's plenty of time to talk about them. But the media and the political establishment would rather direct the conversation to those things because they, in many cases, don't have reasonable arguments. They, you know, you look at our economy. Now, one says, in order to fix it, let's raise taxes some more. We already have the highest taxes in the world. Let's raise them some more. Like, that's going to solve the problem. Versus the other who says what we have to do is create the environment that, you know, fosters.
What one says more self-government and the other says more big government, right?
Right, right. I mean, basically, we the people versus we the government. That's what we're voting on. But they want to obscure that so that people don't realize that.
Two futures, not necessarily two people, but two futures. Exactly. Let me go back to the question to you, because you mentioned, and I wanted you to take about 3 minutes or 4 minutes, whatever you want to do here. We're going to finish in 5 minutes here, this segment. But I would like you to speak to that segment of the American public today, those Christians, those Christian evangelicals, many of them younger. Who are saying, you know what, I don't really like either person.
Right.
I think the most principled position that I can take is not voting for president or voting for a third party.
Right.
Could you speak to them? Because we're doing that on our program. I had Michelle Bachman do it on Tuesday. I had George Barna yesterday with us. He gave his perspective. We would like to hear what Dr. Ben Carson would say to these people who are still maybe thinking to themselves the most principled thing is not to vote for president.
Well, for one thing, when you don't vote, you are voting. And frequently you're voting against the way that you really feel. But remember, every day when you get up and you leave the house, until you get back in bed, you are making choices. And we live in an evil world, so you have to make the best choice, even though it's not a perfect choice. And that's why God gave you a sophisticated brain. And also, we have the ability to prioritize. If you come up on an accident victim and they have an open femoral fracture, yeah, that's pretty serious. And you say, better deal with that. But if they're not breathing, perhaps you better get them breathing first. Because if you don't get them breathing first, the femoral fracture won't matter anymore. Now, right now, our country is about to go off the cliff. If you don't stop it and turn it around, it doesn't matter about the fight that's going on in the passenger compartment. You can go back there and I'll go off the cliff, or you can stop the train and turn around and then deal with that. This is what people have to understand. And we're talking about two completely different futures. And I would say to those people also, it's not about your sensibilities and the offense that you have taken with what someone has said. It's about the future for your children.
Dr. Carson, you were one of the first really to come out and to support Donald Trump. I know individuals that are on the faith advisory team for Trump. Matter of fact, I'm on it in Pennsylvania, and our other host on the program is as well. Speak to us a little bit about the real genuine desire of a Donald Trump to do, as he says, to defend religious freedom and in moral truth.
Well, you know, we've had a number of conversations about that. He is the one who has really, of his own accord, been pushing, you know, the Johnson Amendment, getting rid of that, because he says that pastors need to have freedom of speech just like everybody else, and that it makes absolutely no sense that they are threatened by our federal government if they say the wrong thing in the pulpit. When Alexis de Tocqueville came to America, one of the things that he complimented us about was the fact that we had these fiery preachers who really stimulated the conscience of the populace. And he concluded that America is great because America is good. And one of the reasons they're good is because we have this admonition every week about the difference between right and wrong. Now, Donald Trump recognizes that he is not a perfect individual and that he has made mistakes. And he has asked God for forgiveness, and he knows that God can forgive him. He also knows that other people probably can't forgive him. But he has to move on because the issues that face us in the United States are much too great.
Hmm. Dr. Carson, we're going to go into the break. Thank you for being with us today on Stand in the Gap today. And I look forward to shortly further talking with you and this group of pastors who will be here. So God bless you. Thanks for all that you are doing.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for listening today to Stand in the Gap today. After this segment, we're going to come back and Gary and I are going to conclude, as we have been in this week and into next week. We're going to conclude in prayer. And Gary is going to tell you that where he's going to go here at about 2 o'clock this afternoon to talk to, well, perhaps the candidate on the other side of the aisle. We're going to find out from Gary what he's going to do this afternoon, right when we come back after this break. Stay with us. Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
The only foundation of a free constitution is pure virtue, and if this cannot be inspired into our people in a great measure than they have it now, they may change their rulers and the forms of government, but they will not obtain a lasting liberty. A quote from John Adams.
Live, love, learn, and leave a legacy. These are great words, but if you want to leave a legacy to your children and grandchildren these days, it's going to take some careful planning. And that's where we come in. We're the Life Financial Group, advisors you can trust. We're Christian, families based upon the Bible, so that we can say we truly understand your values. In fact, for nearly 40 years, folks of all ages have counted on us to care for and grow their financial resources. Through prayer, prudent investment, and pleasant, knowledgeable people, we can help you navigate your investments so you feel secure. We're glad to offer morally clean investment options that won't sear your conscience or make you anxious. We're also comfortable talking about increasing the impact of your charitable giving. How do we make a difference? So learn how you can have peace of mind by calling us today at 610-385-4500. That's 610-385-4500. Or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Remember, in this political season, it is God who changes the times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. Daniel 2:21.
PA Leadership Charter School. Lead, don't follow.
There are over 42,000 cyber school students in Pennsylvania. Miss Philadelphia 2015 was a 2009 graduate of Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School. Athletes, actors, musicians, scholars, and community leaders appreciate the flexible schedule cyber school offers, so they can pursue their passions, become independent learners, critical thinkers, and empowered leaders. Learn more today. Visit www.palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785. That's www.palcs.org for Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School.
PA Leadership Charter School.
I'm Jan Markell, helping you understand the times.
Isn't there anybody in the system who would stand up and call this what it really is? a massive moral disaster.
Evil is defined in the Bible as a system ruled by Satan that robs, steals, and destroys the influence of God. From the world of politics to the world of racial unrest, we are seeing how anger is being lived out before our eyes. Could it be that evil has more of a foothold in our country because we have abandoned the God of the Bible? Is he allowing us to feel the pain of a godless society whose purpose is to be self-serving? The Bible is clear that the end times will be lawless and ungodly, yet it reminds us at all times God is still in control. For more information, listen to our weekend program on this station or anytime at olivetreeviews.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. And Gary, I want to ask you just for your initial comments, perhaps, on some of the things that Dr. Ben Carson just shared from us with the program here. Anything really stand out to you by the comments he made?
Well, I appreciate Ben Carson. And, you know, it's interesting that some of the national media has been asking the question, where has Ben Carson been? They don't realize that he is out there as a surrogate going from town to town, standing up for Donald Trump. But Ben Carson understands that Donald Trump understands the issues. In other words, he very clearly stipulated that Donald Trump understands the values upon which this nation were established, and that he's going to continue to strengthen those values. And I was just very much impressed with Ben Carson and what he had to say to our audience here today.
You know, Gary, after the break, ladies and gentlemen, after the break, when that was going on, Dr. Carson and I talked just briefly, and he really bore down on the idea that this is all about a matter of truth. Gary, we've talked about that on this program. This is a matter of truth. We started this program, did we not, with Hillary Clinton, that two-thirds of the people believe that she does not tell the truth. Mm-hmm. That's where he went in this recent discussion afterwards, and about the authority of Scripture. He said, when it comes right down to it, this is really about the authority of Scripture and truth. Mm-hmm. And he said, Donald Trump, he said he has truly asked the Lord for forgiveness. He said there are some people who will not find it in their heart to forgive him, but you've got to, you know, personally, but you've got to move on. I think this narrative, Gary, that we've talked about on the program, you and Dave talked about last Friday, a week ago, and then we've from time to time have shared input of people like Pastor James Robison and Michelle Bachman and others who have an opportunity to be very, very close to Donald Trump. They are saying some of those same things. That just has to be, to me, it's very significant, Gary.
Well, it is. And of course, you know, the other night we had Pastor Jim Garlow on our conference call, and he brought out the same information. And that is the idea that Donald Trump is on a spiritual journey. He travels with men and women of God. He seeks out their counsel. And there have been certain occasions where even when his political advisor gave him one piece of advice and the spiritual advisors gave him another piece of advice, he went the way that the spiritual advisors told him to go. He is seeking truth. You know that? I fully believe from everything that you and I and Dave have heard in some of these conversations that we've had with others, I fully do believe that Donald Trump is seeking truth. On the other hand, Sam, Hillary is hiding the truth. She's running from the truth. She's burying the truth. Talk about the truth falling in the streets. She is paving the streets with the truth and forgetting it. I mean, it's really sad in the comparison. There's no comparison between the two.
Gary, that is what part of my hope in the program was, to do a little compare contrast. I didn't know what Dr. Carson would say, but he did go that direction, so I think it was important to reemphasize that. Gary, we are dealing in prayer. We're talking about prayer. We are trying to lead in prayer. I was actually going to have Dr. Carson lead in prayer today, but he had to step out, so he's not going to do that. I'm going to ask you to pray for us and close our program today. But before you do that, Gary, you are in the Altoona area broadcasting, and you are going, as I said on the other part of the other side of the break, you are going to be attending a Clinton campaign event. Tell us about that a little bit and what you perhaps hope to accomplish.
Well, first of all, I was hoping to be with you folks today down there in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, with Ben Carson and the Pastors Roundtable, until I found out that Bill Clinton, former President Bill Clinton, is coming here to the Altoona area. And so through discussion with you and Dave, we decided that maybe it'd be good for me to stay here in the Altoona area to see if I can have the opportunity to get close to Bill Clinton and ask him some questions. I do have a press pass through the APN radio, so I do not know at this particular point if I will be able to get up close to him and ask him some significant questions. But if I can, I will. But, you know, the interesting thing, Sam, that I've observed about Bill Clinton coming to the Altoona, Pennsylvania area is that he is going to a very, 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 very small venue. It's the AFSCME building right here in the Altoona area. And I'm telling you, if they can get 50 people in there, it's going to be crowded, unless they're going to have it outside. I don't know. I will be able to report on that, I suppose, on Monday. But it's amazing. They're not going to a big arena like Trump did when he came here a couple of months ago. They are going into a very small little building for Bill Clinton this afternoon. That says something, Sam. They're not expecting many people.
Well, Gary, it does, and we didn't comment on this, but Tim Kaine is traveling, just as Ben Carson is kind of for Trump campaign. Tim Kaine's obviously out there as the vice presidential candidate. He had a setting in North Carolina, I believe, and then one in Florida where he had like 30 and 50 people.
That's right.
I saw just last night that he was supposed to have an event in Sarasota, Florida, key state right now, supposed to be there this afternoon, and they canceled it. The assumption is because there was not enough interest. Mm-hmm. And Gary, I just find this remarkable when we're talking about these polls that where they were going, that I don't know how in the world you can measure interest when nobody's showing up for Bill Clinton, former President Bill Clinton, effectively, or Tim Kaine, the vice presidential candidate. This seems pretty odd to me.
It does. And I think that when you compare how many people are showing up, I think the polls are wrong. And I say again today, as I said before, I'm predicting a landslide for Donald Trump. I may be wrong, but I'm predicting it. You'll find out if I'm a prophet or not, but don't stone me if I'm not.
Well, Gary, we need to pray for this country. I'm going to ask you now, in the closing minutes here, that if you would, on behalf of our entire American Pastors Network team and pastors across the country, if you could just close this program in prayer today for the election, for our voters, for our people, for our freedom.
I will. Father in heaven, as we come to you today, we thank you for the access into your throne of grace by prayer. Our nation needs a touch from you. And Father, we realize that as we even look at these two particular candidates and the platforms upon which they are running, that one is biblical and one is anti-biblical. And Father, I'm just going to ask you, please give us people in office who will stand upon a platform that is biblically based, so that as your word says, we as Christians can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness in these days in which we live. Lord, I do ask you to work. I do ask you to raise up people who are going to maintain biblical principles. And Father, I pray too that Christians, that you through your Spirit will convict Christians to go out and vote on November the 8th. And Lord, as you work, we will be careful to give you the praise and the thanksgiving for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Gary. And ladies and gentlemen, we pray that you, where you are this weekend, will stand in the gap for truth. And I hope that if you do not pray much, you pray now. Pray for our country. Pray for yourselves. Pray that all of us who know the truth will stand for it. Have a great weekend, and we look forward to seeing you back then on this coming Monday here on Stand in the Gap Today.
We'll be right back.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180.